Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 16th, 2011, episode 164, sponsored today by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Jamie, I got to tell you about something surreal that happened yesterday. So
okay.
We're recording the Stable Scoop show, and it's Helena couldn't make it yesterday, so I got Samantha Clark to fill in, my old co-host on the 2010 show, and she also lives here in Lexington. So it was kind of fun to work with her again, and we had two guests on. One was Debbie Laux, who is Monty Roberts' daughter, talking about his new award. Remember we talked about that in the show earlier this week?
Mm-hmm.
And she gave us kind of the in scoop and everything, but that was all in order for a 10-minute interview. But then we go to do an interview with Megan from Alabama, who is one of the girls that was involved in the tornadoes, who we never got to the other night. We had her scheduled on Horse World Gives Back, and it just ran too late. We had so many guests, and we just never got to her. And she said, "Do you still want to hear my story?" And I said, "Sure, come on, Stable Scoop." By the way, she turned out to be a terrific storyteller, and her story lasted a half an hour. It was 30 minutes of everything that went on that day in her life, and it was amazing. It played out the way she described it, like a TV show in your head. But the thing that was surreal about this is the entire time she was telling the story about the tornadoes wiping out her farm and killing her horse and all this stuff, we're having a wicked thunderstorm here in Lexington. The whole time, 30 minutes, that storm was pouring down rain, thunder. I could hear the thunder through Samantha's microphone on the show.
Wow.
It was kind of
wow.
Surreal. You know, it was like,
that's
okay.
It's like a scary movie going on. You're watching a scary movie and there's a thunderstorm and it's dark outside. And yeah, that's scary.
And then she's telling about, you know, all these tornadoes and everything. And then during it, right after she mentions about hiding in her closet with her dogs and her cats, waiting for the tornadoes to go by, my weather alarm, which is in my office right here, goes off. And you can hear it on the tape going off. And it turned out to be a severe thunderstorm warning. But it was just this most surreal thing. It was one of the 3 years of doing this. It was one of the most surreal moments. I know that's the only word I could come up with that I've had doing this show, doing any of these shows. It was just
wow,
spooky.
So, speaking of the weather, did you guys have any tornadoes touch down or anything major happen?
Yesterday was one of those thunderstorms that was like continuous thunder. It sounded like God was bowling. That's how we always used to describe it.
Yeah,
and it was just one of those storms that was just continuous thunder and some wicked lightning outside my window here. Seemed like every time Samantha and I would go to do a show, would go to do the 2010 radio show, we'd have thunderstorms. It was like almost every week. So, and then she comes on yesterday, we're having a thunderstorm. The whole thing was just surreal.
Next time you're in a drought, y'all need to go ahead and get together and do a show.
Good to work with her again yesterday. And it was perfect that she was on the show, that we had Debbie Laux talk, because Samantha's from England and still goes back twice a year, and her mom lives there and everything, talking about the Queen bestowing that award on Monty. So that was all pretty cool that Samantha was on that show yesterday.
Now, when does that come out?
That'll be out tomorrow. Yep, okay. That'll be out tomorrow. Gotcha. So you can, and Debbie tells some inside story as to how that all came about and how. Remember, we said, did Monty get the award in person?
Yeah.
He answers that. There's a backstory to that too. So she tells that story on the show. So you have to tune in to StableScoop.com tomorrow for that latest episode.
Well, that is so right. Cool. I got to tell you, Glenn, that remember over the winter when your weather was so cold and you had so much snow and I was like, ha, 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 it's like sunny and 75 here. It's December 5th and it's sunny and January it's sunny, but I also said that I'm going to hate my life in the summertime. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember that, and I'm hoping that you are. I mean, I hope you weren't.
Let me just tell you, it began yesterday. 108 degrees.
Oh,
are
God.
You freaking kidding me? In June, 108 degrees. So, yes, I would like to let everybody know that as awesome as these winters are, my winter has begun. My winter has begun. It is 108 degrees here. It's god-awful. I couldn't even ride the horses yesterday. I had to ride at 7:30 last night. And at my friend's house, it was a covered arena, and it was still hot. So,
you know, sometimes those covered arenas just act like big ovens.
Well, this one's better because at least you're out of the sun. I mean, when I say sunny, it's always sunny here. It's so sunny, there's not a cloud in the sky ever. There's no clouds anywhere. So when you're outside, and there's really not much shade anywhere either because the bushes that we have are like scrubs. You know, you gotta duck down to hide behind it and get some shade. But yeah, it's brutal. But the good news is, Glenn, that I do, when we compete, we go up north to Flagstaff. That's where I'm going this weekend with the horses. And it's just a practice competition, a little schooling. However, it is going to be like high of 75 there because we're at 6,000 feet elevation, 7,000 feet elevation. So that was, it cools it off if you just go up the hill.
Well, now I don't feel so bad about you bragging it's the entire tough. Winter. And, you know,
it's
I called
horrible.
You the other day. It was, what, 3 in the afternoon, maybe your time. And you sounded all sleepy. And I'm like, are you just sleeping? And Jamie says, yep, that's what you do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it's 108 degrees and you can't do anything else.
You can't, besides sitting in a pool with a cocktail, that's the only thing you can do at 3 in the afternoon. So I'm trying to get out after the show and ride. Like, as soon as we're done, I run outside, I feed the horses, and I get dressed to ride. I couldn't even do it yesterday. It was 100 degrees by 8:30 yesterday morning. So, yeah, that sucks. So,
well, I have a study that we're going to talk about later in the show that will help you with that problem of what to do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, Jennifer. Jennifer.
Me. Sorry. I was looking at a map of Flagstaff. On today's Easy Signs Online Thursday edition, we embark on a journey across Florida by way of the Cross Florida Greenway. It is the best thing to happen to True Blue Trail Riders since the Oregon Trail. You're going to love it. Continuing the adventure, we will be enjoying another riveting chapter of the most loved horse book ever read aloud on Horses in the Morning, Black Beauty. And to round out the audio ride down Equestrian Road, we'll be getting our regular Chronicle report, and today, Blogging Wars.
Here's the first time we have a number of Daily Winnies today. We had a lot of love yesterday. Tell you what, Jamie, yesterday, we had a lot of love from the listeners yesterday between emails, posts on Facebook, and Twitter messages. It was the most love I think the Horse Radio Network and our show has gotten since we started 3 years ago. But my first one goes out to Christine Kutak. And she sent us an email, and I won't read the whole thing, but she says she's a big fan down there in Austin, Texas, and she's on her first adult horse hunt, and she downloads our shows and listens to them when she's driving on her 4, 5, or 6 hour drives across Texas to find her first horse. And she listens to them, and she says, thank you so much for coming along with me on my horse hunt. I am thoroughly enjoying it. Well, thank you for listening, Christine, and good luck on your horse hunt. We expect you to post a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning when you find your horse, of you and your horsey together. So good luck with that, and we appreciate you listening. And here I have another one. It plays. Sometimes this thing delays. Thank you. Because it doesn't seem to be playing. Maybe if I put cheering in. There we go. There we go. Anyway, the second one is to Ann Mabardi. She says, she posts this on Facebook. I listen to your show every day from the podcast on my iPhone while driving to work. I'm about a week behind catching up. Makes my hour commute to Brisbane, Australia so much better. And I'm going to give her this because she's a down under listener. We have a lot of listeners in Australia and New Zealand. That's so cool, isn't it?
You know what? I think they're attracted by my Australian accent that I can do so well. They understand.
Yeah, that's
they
it.
They understand and they feel me. You know what I mean?
Please don't do it again. I don't want to lose the listeners we do have there. Hey, another one from Twitter here. We just got 2 seconds ago. This is Victoria says, I am listening to the best radio network ever. I love it. I love all of the shows. So, and of
Aww.
Course, she was talking about PBS. No, Horse Radio, I mean. and you have one too, right?
Now, I'm not wanting to get any trash talk started today. Today is going to be a peaceful Black Beauty reading, but I would like to say that my daily whinny goes out to Anne and her horse, Wally, from Sweden. They say, she says, I listen to Horses in the Morning every day and love the Black Beauty reading. Go, Jamie. And then parentheses, sorry, Glenn. I can give you tips on more books to read after you're done with this. Anne and Wally from Sweden, P.S., thank you for the hat. And she posted a picture of herself and her horse together wearing her Horse Radio Network hat that we sent all the way to Sweden. So we do appreciate you listening to the show and supporting. And I do think it's funny that I'm getting suggestions for books to read once we're done with Black Beauty. And people, let me just tell you that we're in chapter 10. And if you still like it by chapter 49, which is the final one, let me know, okay? we'll play it by ear. But I do say that chapter 10 is so long that I have to split it up today. So we'll have half a chapter 10 today and the second half tomorrow. Hope everybody is okay with that. Otherwise, it'd be 15 minutes of reading, and that would exhaust you probably, and me.
Well, and also to get that hat to her, because we can't really afford to send hats to Sweden. And we met her at the World Equestrian Games she was in, and I know she listens, and a bunch of her friends listen. They're Rainers from over there in Sweden, and she had a friend coming over, as a husband or a friend, I can't remember, coming over to the United States and staying in a hotel here. So we had to send the hat to the hotel, and he picked up the hat at the hotel, and then he put it in his luggage and he brought it home to Anne. So that hat has been well traveled, and we went through a lot of work. Those hats are exclusive. And that reminds me, we will be giving away a signed hat tomorrow for the best ads for Really Bad Ads Day. And we might have something else thrown in there, too. So send your ads in to Really Bad Ads or to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. So thank you, Ann.
I got to tell you, if we don't get any really bad ads tomorrow, as far as that goes, I have a whopper. I mean, I have a couple, including a – remember the trailer photos that we posted a couple weeks ago of the really bad – I can beat that 100-fold. Okay, let me just – And I'm so some of the ads that I found, it's just been a great week on Craigslist and Dreamhorse. Those are the two I search, and oh my goodness, it is fantastic.
That's
so,
the other thing you do
around
at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Exactly, I sit on the computer because I can't go outside.
Hey Jennifer, we're getting some ads in though. We have quite a few, don't we?
We've been getting in each week. It seems to be building more and more. So folks must be telling their friends to search the web. So they keep increasing, and we're getting to the point now that we're only going to be able to put up the best of the best. So, folks, keep it up.
Well, keep them coming, though, because you might have the winner, and
That's right.
You know, I tell you what, even if it's only our Horse Radio Network hat, that has become a prized commodity here at Horses in the Morning.
I know. Remember when you gave one to my friend Nancy for helping out at Rolex? You actually need to send one to Nancy because I took hers. I didn't have one.
Did you have a hat?
I had a brown one, but I wanted a blue one. I work here, for God's sake. I should have some stuff, you know?
That's
she doesn't
funny.
Know I stole it, though, so I'm sure she's going, where is that hat? Jamie's going to be so mad I lost it.
Hey, we went to see Pirates of the Caribbean last night over at the Movie Tavern. And
oh, cool.
Had you seen it yet?
I have not seen this one, but I've seen all the other ones.
Well, you know, what I would say about it is if you're a Pirates of the Caribbean fan, you'll like this one. If you're a sort of mediocre Pirates of the Caribbean person, then you're going to say this is more of the same.
So was Keira Knightley in it at all, those guys at all?
What's that?
Was Keira Knightley in it at all, and the other little hottie, or is it just Jack and what's her face?
It was, Johnny Depp was in it, of course, as Jack Sparrow. And one thing about this one is that he was in the whole thing. Do you remember the other ones where he was in part of the time and then he would show up and go away kind of thing? Well, he was in this one the whole time, and he really made this movie. If he wasn't in it, this would not have been a movie. He was pretty good. Now, Penelope Cruz, you know, she's Penelope Cruz. She shows cleavage. It's a good movie.
I know she's won Academy Awards and everything, but how is her acting? Because I have not always found her to be believable.
Actually, she was pretty good in this movie because she pretty much played herself. But that's what she does. I mean, she pretty much plays herself. Now, Jeffrey Rush, of course, was in this one as Barbossa. He had a big role in this one. And he's always good in that role. I think he's great. You know, and then Keith Richards, of course, is in this movie, too, as Captain Teague. So, and he was terrific, and you wouldn't normally think that either. And then, of course, for the guys out there, there are a lot of very pretty mermaids in this one. But the mermaids are not so nice. They're not all Ariel and Disney-like. So I would say if you're a Pirates fan at all, go see this movie. And then I would also give a C to the food at the Movie Tavern last night. Pretty much sucked.
Really?
I think it depends on what cook they have in there, but it comes and goes. Hey, I got another story I have to tell you about. Marie, this may remind me, was talking about food. You know Marie Callender, they have frozen foods. You get them here in the East in the frozen food section. Well, they also apparently have some restaurants out there in the West. I don't know if you had any in your area. They had about 65 restaurants on the West Coast, Marie Callender. Well, they went bankrupt end of last week. And on Sunday, at some of the restaurants, the executives walked in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're eating your dinner. There was one of them that had a birthday party for 25 people going on. And the suits walked in and told the manager, close the restaurant now. Kick everybody out. We're done. And that's what they did. The manager argued, apparently. No, he had to go around and tell everybody, leave. You can't even finish. Drop your forks and get out.
Oh, my gosh. See, I had heard a news story, but I caught the tail end of it, about them firing like 4,000 people or something like that across the country. But I didn't know that they just like... everybody get out or we're going to spray you with the hose kind of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it was. This birthday party for 25 people had just started, and they had to leave. I've never heard, usually you wait till the end of the day at least, and then just close and don't open again. But apparently they didn't even want to pay the employees for that extra 6 hours or whatever.
Because employees in a restaurant make what? I think when I waited tables, I made $2.12 an hour.
I know.
Big money, Marie Callender.
Yeah, and we actually got some of their frozen meals, and as frozen meals go, they weren't too bad. So I'm sure that division will be sold off, and they'll still be doing that. But the restaurant, don't bother going there this week. You're not going to get in.
I wasn't going to plan on it.
They didn't have to pay the bill.
That, I've seen those restaurants around, and I'm like, why would I go to a restaurant that sells frozen food? That sounds terrible.
Apparently
I could make that at home.
Well, you know, Fridays, though, TGI Fridays has a whole frozen food section now, and there's a bunch of them that do. They start out, but it started out as a restaurant first, and apparently it's like home-cooked food and stuff. I don't know much about it because I'm here on the East Coast. But other exciting news, I got a little full of stuff today. Buck the movie opens tomorrow, so check that out. You can go to buckthefilm.com/playdates.htm or just go to buckthefilm.com, and you'll see what cities it's opening in. And guess what? It's opening in Scottsdale, Arizona, the same time it's opening our closest place in Cincinnati, Ohio, so on July 1st. So we should go see it we should plan a day after that, go see it. And all go see it. We should get our listeners and everybody where it's opening, because it's open a bunch of places July 1st, to go see it the same night, and then all talk about it the next day, and maybe even get Buck on here.
Okay. We're going to go see it. I've figured out the day. Saturday, July 9th, because it is about as far as Scottsdale is as far from me as it is from you. Oops, the trailer just started playing in my headphones. Then went to the website. But July 9th, because Scottsdale and Cincinnati are about the same distance from us as it is from you. So Saturday, July 9th, we're all going to go, and then we'll come back Monday morning and talk about it.
I think that's a plan.
Okay.
I hope it's still playing by July 9th.
I think it will be.
Let's hope it's extremely popular. You know, even Debbie Louse yesterday from Monty Roberts' daughter said that they've been getting calls out at Monty Roberts' place from people that have seen the pre-screenings of it and said there's such a correlation between Monty and him. She's been getting a bunch of calls too.
And a lot of guys say that Buck was their inspiration for horse training, you know? I mean, and he's not that old. So he must have really been making a difference for a long time, you know? So I swear I remember John Lyons talking about Buck being one of his mentors, and John Lyons has been around forever, so it makes you think Buck's been around forever too, and I'm sure he's affected a lot of those natural horsemen. I know. That's what I was shocked when I saw his picture, because I'm like, I've heard everybody, all these natural horsemanship trainers talk about him forever and ever, and he's not that old. Or maybe wears a lot
of
sunscreen.
That missed it, for those that missed it, do you want me to play the trailer again for those that missed it?
Yes,
I have it here.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I saw it was amazing to me. It just blew my mind.
I thought, what kind of voodoo stuff is this? He walks into a round pen and 5 minutes he's got a horse following him around like a dog.
Everything you do with a horse, it's a dance.
You're always hearing about breaking horses. There's a whole element of abuse, really.
And you don't realize how unjust it is until someone shows you a different path.
A lot of times, rather than helping people with horse problems, I'm helping horses with people problems.
In this particular discipline, you have to be a sensitive person.
There, she's trying to protect herself. There's a change.
That vulnerability is what makes you great.
That's why so many of the folks that are really good at this are, sometimes they're tortured souls.
My dad had a violent temper. He was a terrifying person. When something is scared for their life, I understand that. Nobody's here to hurt you.
When I met Buck, he's got a big hat on, his vest, and he looks like he's got a costume on. And then his humanity and a gentle spirit came off real quick.
It's a real trust thing between the two of you. A little bit like when you're dating. That last 2 minutes of the date can be a real deal breaker.
He was just a very ordinary boy. Didn't show signs of early genius.
Thanks, Mom.
You sound the same that ever left my
This horse tells me quite a bit about you.
As we sit alone, I know someday we must go.
Boy, do you feel like a fool and kind of like a failure.
It's all right.
Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love.
if you got a taste of what I'm talking about.
Stay with me.
It'll make you better in areas that you didn't think related to horses.
Let's just breathe.
God had him in mind when he made a cowboy.
There's a couple great lines in that trailer, isn't there, Jamie? That God had him in mind when he made a cowboy, but also the other line about the last 2 minutes of a date.
Yeah, you know, but Chad watched that preview with me, my husband Chad, and he said that the line that sold him, because he's being introduced to horses and horsewomen kind of all at the same time, and he's quite intrigued by the horsewoman thing, the horse chicks. And when he said that he liked and sold him about that movie, was it was a guy who actually said, "I don't meet a lot of people with horse problems. I meet horses with people problems."
Yes.
And he's
for
like,
sure.
That seems to be so true with just dealing with you and your horse people and the different boarding facilities and craziness that goes along with it, you know? So
I'll tell you, you must have had them too. I mean, Jennifer's back to doing lessons again, and, you know, she has one interesting one that, you know, the challenge is the people, and you meet these people who, I thought it very interesting what was said in there about the troubled lives some of the best horse trainers, you know, had terrible upbringing. Same, I believe Monty did too. So, you know, it comes back to sometimes these people just don't know anything else, and it's learning that other way that is the most difficult, but in the end, the most rewarding, and does change their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Jennifer, did Glenn say at the beginning of that you're taking riding lessons again?
No, she's giving them.
Doing a spot of teaching on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good deal. I'm like, I love teaching, but I love taking lessons even more. It's definitely something that continues to challenge you. Yeah, I teach or whatever, but I'd rather learn.
Hey, I'm going to get a hold of Sterling next week and start taking my driving lessons. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we're all continuing to take lessons, so that's great. And teaching makes you remember a lot, too. So that's fantastic. Hey,
before we go on, can you give me the whip? Because this is going to need the whip.
Hold on.
Go ahead and whip
here.
Me. Okay. Yeah, just there we go. Thank you. I talked earlier about, and this is for all my man army that's developing out there on Horses in the Morning. This is for you guys. I told you about a study that just came out from Harvard. And, you know, this is the other thing that you could do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Study confirms, I think the title just says it all. Study confirms that sex can keep you focused and happy. So there.
Okay. Now, time out. Let me just do that again.
I'm trying to help
earth?
You.
What
I'm trying
to
help you. 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, Glenn, that would be nice, and I'm feeling a little bit awkward and uncomfortable right now because I am home alone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, you work nights sometimes. 2,250 people took this this study, and what researchers found that 47% of the time we are unfocused, thinking about things other than the task at hand. That's me the entire show, pretty much. The majority of this time, the lack of focus led us to unhappy thoughts that could cause depression. The only activity that was found to keep people more focused was making love or sex. It dropped to 30%. So 30% aren't even focused when they're having sex.
I am going to brush over that and do our commercial. And I'm sure they're very proud. They're very proud to follow that one. Where is our first ad? Please, God. Okay, thank you so much to EZSignsOnline.com for sponsoring our show today. Visit our friends at EZSignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates to farm entrance signs. They also have business, school, and church signs. Their New England style lines of signs are very popular for horse farms, Ask me. I have one sitting outside of my house right now. I love it. With literally hundreds of combinations and options available, you'll be able to create this custom sign you've always wanted. Remember, you only get one chance to make a first impression. A beautiful farm entrance sign from EasySignsOnline.com gets it done. They ship to every state in the U.S. They have a free shipping promotion right now, so check them out. EasySignsOnline.com, 1-800-640-8180. I love my sign, Glenn. I got to tell you, though, remember how I told you I had planted flowers underneath the sign to, like, decorate
all,
it? And
they all died, didn't
like,
they?
Totally. So here's what I actually did is I went to Lowe's and I bought a bunch of cactuses. And I planted the cactuses underneath the sign. I'll take a picture of it today and send it to you tomorrow because I found some cactuses that look like Mickey Mouse ears. And I planted them all underneath the sign. So I don't have to water them every day because it was just death and carnage. I couldn't continue to kill plants like that. So I figured if you can't beat them, join them. Put a cactus in there.
I can see it now. Nobody's going to be stealing your sign, are they?
They would get poked. and also, I'm just hoping nobody runs over with a bicycle now because then they would. I thought the cacti would be a deterrent for anybody getting too close. So there you go. That's what I think.
Well, we have our guest on the line, and we're going to get to him very shortly to find out about a 110-mile trail that you can ride across Florida, which I think is pretty cool. My brother lives near there, which is how I learned about it, and I didn't know anything about it. But it looks like we have a caller on the line, so let's take Joanna from Arizona first. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, Jamie. This is one of Jamie's friends, students, and occasional ophthalmology veterinarian, and I just wanted to say good morning. I'm actually able to tune in on
You're
my way to work.
You're the girl.
Pajama girl?
No. Different one,
no,
Jamie?
Different vet. I have a couple of veterinary friends. But Joanna is the one that, of course, Joanna is she's an ophthalmology veterinarian, so she specializes in animal eyeballs, which is interesting. We have to have her on for that at a later time to talk about it. However, Joanna is the one who traveled and camped out with me in the frozen California wasteland to buy this $1,000 lame gray horse that's now doing fantastic.
Yes, and it makes me very happy that we survived the tundra. We survived an awful human being. And I was teary last night during the lesson. Jamie, of course, is our trainer, because the horse was moving forward and he was back to work. And he was such a good boy, and I'm not the most confident rider, and it just warmed my heart to hear Jamie say just now on the air that she enjoys giving lessons and that it's meaningful to you. And I appreciate that, so it's all not just BS and lip service when we're working. So, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, and, you know, a horse like yours, we're going to continue to learn stuff from. He's going to give us something probably different every day because we don't know him, and he's been kind of in an abusive situation, and we're bringing him back slowly and gently, and he's going to be great. So don't get frustrated. And I absolutely love teaching. It's what inspires me to continue to learn. So you're just a sweetheart for calling in, and I swear we're going to have you on to talk about eyeballs. I swear.
We're
going to have to.
No problem. We'll do it. I'll enjoy it, and hopefully some of your listeners can also become educated because the eye is often, unfortunately, overlooked. But I hope everyone has a great day. I'm off to work to save some eyes.
Well, thank you, Joanna.
All right. Take care.
Well, that's
Bye,
cool
Jay.
That she called in for you. That's kind of cool.
That's awesome. She's not been able to listen, and because I always say, oh, do you hear the show today to all my friends? I'm like, do you hear the show today? They're like, no, I don't listen. And I'm like, you're the
We have listeners in Australia and Sweden and all over the world, and you can't get the people next door to listen. That's
I even, I'm like, you have to listen because I talk about your horse, or I talked about you, and they still don't care enough to go listen. So that's awesome that Joanna was listening. We call her Dr. Norman. She's Dr. Norman, and she's the one that saved, again, this basset hound of mine has had about 9 lives, and she saved my basset hound's eyeball That's how we became friends.
Okay. All right, let's go to our guest here. We have Mickey Thomason on the line, and he, I think, works for the state of Florida. We'll find that out here shortly. My brother moved to Ocala, and he kept saying after he got there, he said the coolest thing ever in Ocala is the Greenway. And I kept saying, what the heck is the Greenway? And he said, you're not going to believe it, but there is a trail that goes all the way across the state of Florida for 110 miles that you can ride on. And it has like these natural bridges that go across highways, and you can ride from the Gulf of Mexico to pretty much to the Atlantic Ocean. And how cool is that? So I said, we got to get somebody on to talk about this because it's got to be one of the longest trails out there. So good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
Am I right? Is this like the longest trail for horse people that exists?
I don't know about that. And the story of how the Greenway came to be is pretty compelling. It has a big history because it originally started at the Barge Canal Waterway Project across the state. And has a history that goes back several hundred years, even to the Spanish conquistadors. But, we've got over 100 miles of dedicated equestrian trails, wagon and horse single-track type trails. So we have a pretty good chunk of trails. I don't know that it's the longest, though.
Well, is it called the Marjorie Harris Car Cross Florida Greenway is the official name, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And Marjorie Harris Carr was an environmentalist who formed a group up in Gainesville called Florida Defenders of the Environment. And she led the fight in the late 1960s when the Cross Florida Barge Canal Project was in motion to stop the barge canal and keep it from being completed because of, what they considered unacceptable environmental impacts from the project.
So now the barge canal was supposed to go all the way across the state so you could get from the Atlantic to the Gulf. Was that the idea?
Yeah, well, it starts on the west coast in an area called English Yankee Town where there's two small communities there next to each other. And that's about 10 miles north of Crystal River, which is a better known, larger metropolitan area. And then it traverses east from there between Ocala and Bellevue and through the town of Dunellen. And then turns and follows the Ocklawaha River to the north-northeast and ends up on the east end connecting to the St. Johns River, which actually flows northward and out into the Atlantic there.
So is it kept up? Does the state keep it up, or is there groups that keep it up and keep the scrub cut down and that kind of thing?
Yeah, all of the above. We're a state agency, as you said before you introduced me, and we're part of the State Department of Environmental Protection, and we're called the Office of Greenways and Trails. We've been in existence for about 17 and a half years after the Cross-Border Barge Canal Project was stopped in 1971. President Nixon did an executive order that stopped it back then because of the controversy that surrounded it and the possible environmental impacts. And then it sat in limbo and was studied and restudied several times over the next 20 years into the early 90s. And by then, everybody saw the writing on the wall that the project wasn't going to be completed. And it ended up, the state lobbied the federal government to get the property back and manage it as a state-run conservation and recreation corridor.
Now, is it just for it's for hikers? Is it for bikers too? Is it just horses, or how does that work?
Yeah, all the above. The only type trails that we don't have are motorized type trails. We've got, I would say it's probably got the most diverse or close to the most diverse recreational uses of any public property, certainly in the state of Florida. Besides the dedicated equestrian trails that we have for wagons and horseback riders, we've got an extensive mountain bike trail network that's over 80 miles long, including a really popular area called Santos, which is right there between Ocala and Bellevue, and is designated by the International Mountain Biking Association as an epic destination, which is at the time when that was noted as such by IMBA. There were only about 40 EPIC designations worldwide, actually. That's an international thing. And then we've got Florida National Scenic Trail hiking trail, about 40-plus miles of that that connects to the Ocala National Forest, which is one of the other major public lands properties here in Florida that the Greenway connects to. So we've
and
got
I,
direct
I think- I think people think Ocala National Forest, they think, a town and it's a little forest. My brother drove through it the other day to go over to Daytona, and he said, you wouldn't believe how big the Ocala National Forest is. You drive forever, and you're in the Ocala National Forest.
It's almost 400,000 acres. I think it's about 380,000 acres. And that's federally run that abuts the Greenway property here along the Ocala River. And they have, extensive trails networks within the forest as well, including motorized ATV trails and that kind of stuff.
Now, are any of the horse trailer or trails just for horses, or are they shared with bikers and hikers too?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes the Greenway so great, especially for equestrians, is that we're fortunate enough the canal corridor in a lot of places averages about a mile wide. And so the Greenway, we have enough width along portions of the corridor to separate the trail users, and you've got dedicated trails for each of the three user groups, with the hikers in the middle as a buffer between the mountain bikes and the equestrians. So we try to keep the mechanized and the cavalry separated.
This is, after having grown up in Atlanta, and my mother actually lives in Palatka, Florida. I have family all over Florida. How on earth did I not know about this before? How long have you guys been around? You might have already covered that, but I can't believe I've never been on this trail.
The eastern end of the Greenway goes to the St. Johns River right there about 8-9 miles south of Palatka. Been around, the Greenway was established by statute when the lands were turned back over to the state from the federal government in the early 1990s. I started working for Greenways and Trails in March of 94, and I was one of the first, I wasn't the first, but one of the first employees that was hired at the time. And, so it's been around for 17, 18 years.
Absolutely impressive, and it even crosses over the freeway.
Jamie, that one's really cool. That bridge where it crosses over, it's 75, isn't it? The six-lane bridge? Where it crosses over there, it has dirt and everything on the bridge, and it has trees and stuff, so when you're going across with the horses, you don't really even notice the road. It's really cool.
We appreciate the positive. Yeah, it was supposed to be the first bridge of its type built in the United States at the time, and that was it was built right at the turn of the millennium around 2000. I think it was the fall of 2000 it opened to the public for them to use it, and was specifically built, as you said, for trail and wildlife connectivity over the interstate, over I-75, to connect the two halves of the Greenway, east and west. And that area there where the interstate crosses the Greenway Barge Canal lands, supposed to be the only part of I-75 that's not owned by the Federal Highway Administration between Florida and Michigan. It's actually still owned by the state and the Canal Authority. It's the former agency that we have.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you said that the animals do animals actually cross the bridge by themselves? The deer and turtles and things wander across?
Yeah, quite a few. We've got motion-activated cameras, infrared cameras that go off at night, wildlife-type cameras, and you see all kinds of things that cross the bridge at night. We've got pictures of fox, bobcats. We've had witnesses, trail volunteers out there who do such great work with us, have seen indigo snakes, which are a protected species here in Florida, and other things crossing the bridge pretty regularly. And we had a black bear bridge last year, I believe. There was one there for about 6 months. We were getting reports of and pictures of from different trail users.
Now, when these infrared cameras go off, do you ever catch, homeless people? like going across the bridge.
Well, you know, there is some wildlife of the two-legged variety that we catch pictures of every then. Yeah, you see some interesting things out there from time to time when there's cameras.
The gypsies have gone through. The gypsies.
Yeah, you just never know what you'll see out there.
Are there any? When you're going through the areas like the Ocala National Forest and some, let's face it, Florida has a lot of critters that are creepy. Are there anything that really challenges the horses, or are a challenge wildlife wise to the horses when on the trails?
The biggest thing, and the biggest thing that I know has caused some problems and potential injuries that we've had to deal with over the past several years, is actually things like bees and yellow jackets, where we've had some horses get stung apparently, and then throw riders and cause some pretty serious injuries. And whenever we come across nests, when we're out there doing land management work we have to do here in Florida on the Greenway, we get an exterminator out there and deal with them, if it's something that our crews feel like they can't handle themselves. And it's interesting because you would think there would be something bigger like a bear or we got panthers here in Florida, although we haven't seen those crossing the bridge yet, and people, of course, think of alligators and the venomous snakes we have down here. But it's as far as equestrians are concerned, probably the bees and stinging things are the ones that have caused the most problem.
Huh.
Now, when you say I want to go use the trail, A, how do I find it, and B, how much does it cost?
Okay. Depending on where you're at, and I know you all have listeners all over the country and world, it sounds like, I would say, first recommendation would be to go to our website, which is FloridaGreenwaysAndTrails.com, and that will link you into trail opportunities all over the state of Florida, which is what our office is to develop an interconnected trail system throughout the state. And then depending on where you were going in Florida and where you wanted to go, you can click on various regions of the state, including there's a separate one for the Cross Florida Greenway because of the size and magnitude of it. It's like its own region. So you click on that, and then that will show you the different areas and the different trail opportunities and recreational opportunities that exist along the various parts of the Greenway. And then there's contact information there to, contact either the field office here in Ocala that I'm based out of and a bunch of our staff. This is the central field office for the Greenway. Or it's got our Tallahassee office contact information. There's links to email staff directly if people have questions or are looking for information they can't find there.
It's free, right, Mickey?
Sorry?
It's free, right? They don't have to pay.
And another great source of information that came about last fall is the state tourism marketing agency, Visit Florida. If you go on their website at visitflorida.com, I believe it is, or just do a search on Visit Florida, I'm sure it'll pop up. That they developed at their own cost a special trails segment of their website that they unveiled last October, I believe it was, which is coincidentally Greenways and Trails Month here in Florida. And so they've got a huge amount of trails information statewide for equestrians, bicyclists, hikers, all those kind of things, because that's information they ended up finding out was some of the most requested information in the state's visitor centers was people wanting to have information about trails.
Huh. All right. One other thing I wanted to point out here is Karen, and I know she's our listener, posted on Facebook. She's from New Jersey. She says, hate to haul my horse to Florida to try this. Is there a place to rent horses? And another one of our listeners chiped in. Linda said, you bet. There's a top-notch trail ride company called Cactus Jack's Trail Rides, and they are amazing. Healthy, happy, safe horses and exceptional trail guides. You can check them out at cactusjackstrailrides.com, and they do rides at the Silver Lake State Park as well as the Greenway. So there you go. That's kind of cool, too. If we just want to go down and we're passing through to go to Disney, we can stop and do a trail ride.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you did a web search on Ventures, I know of several more. I'm very familiar with Cactus Jack because they're right here in the Ocala area. And there are some other ones on the eastern half of the Greenway and over towards the western end, towards the English Yankeetown area. So I'm sure if you do a search, you can find all those. And we have some links on our website, too. One thing I'd like to point out is especially for equestrian interests, is 500 acres of the greenway was established by statute to create a Florida horse park, similar to what you all have, as the division termed Kentucky Horse Park. And because Marion County, being such a huge equestrian area, and that horse park is just east of I-75 also, and that's where Cactus Jack is based out of. And
they hold a lot of horse trials there. A lot of eventing goes on there at the Florida Horse Park.
A lot of eventing, schooling events, and all kinds of other things out of the horse park there on the Greenway.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for coming on with us today. There's also a website we found called greenwayequestrians.org that seems to be a private group.
They're our primary conduit for volunteerism and kind of bringing all the various equestrian groups and interests that are here and on the Greenway together. And they do an amazing amount of work for us, volunteers, who help maintain the trails, report when there's problems, unsafe conditions, things that we need to know about. They host events that help raise funds to support trail efforts for equestrians and everybody on the Greenway as well as around the state, helping to support our mission. So we're extremely fortunate to have all the great people who support and, work to help promote what we do.
I got to tell you, you're one of the best spoken, most intelligent state workers I've ever talked to.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
And your name's Mickey and you live in Florida. You were the perfect guest today.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope you all have a good rest of your show. And we very much appreciate the opportunity to help get the message and spread the word about the Greenway and what we're doing down here in Florida.
All right. Thank
you,
Mickey.
See you on the show, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Excited.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I wasn't kidding. He was just the most articulate state workers I've ever spoken with. And enthusiastic.
And you had to throw in the Mickey in Florida, what, like he's Mickey Mouse in Orlando?
I had to, and you don't think he gets that every day?
M-I-C-K-E-Y, whatever his last name is.
Sorry, let's do it. That was great. That was fun. Jennifer just typed here. Do we have any plans for the weekend, Glenn? So, I think we're going to have to. Maybe we can organize a horse radio network trail ride of in the winter, preferably, of the Cross Florida Greenway, and we'll go book out all the horses at this place.
Summer, can I just read what Alan Moorhead posted on our Facebook page? He said, I'm offering Jamie a crying towel, 108, but what humidity. Come back to steamer country in the good old southeast. Okay, it doesn't matter if there's humidity or not. 108 is freaking hot, okay? But I did post back, I would love to. Unfortunately, there's no F-16s at Dobbins Air Force Base. That's the one in Georgia. And you can't choose where you live when you're a military family. And I would much rather have humidity instead of this dry heat that sucks the moisture out of your eyeballs. I'm telling you, I'd rather be there, okay?
I noticed that you didn't want to read what Rick Conley said. I noticed that.
I ignored Rick's comments.
He was supporting me. Let's just say he was thrown down on my side about the whole survey I talked about earlier. Well, let's do our song for the day.
Sex is weird.
And then we'll do Jennifer missed that whole thing. I think she was on the phone with somebody. We'll do our song, and then we'll come back, and we're going to have our reading of Black Beauty, and then we're going to have Lisa from the Chronicle on with the Chronicle Report this week. So we have all of that coming up yet today. Jamie chose the song today.
Yeah, I want to intro it. So this is the guy that wrote this. His name is Dan Roberts, and you can find his music at oldbootsmusic.com. You're going to recognize the song because he wrote it with some guy, maybe you've heard of him, his name is Garth Brooks. So this is Dan Roberts' original version of Beaches of Cheyenne, which became a ginormous smash hit for Garth Brooks, obviously, and we're lucky to be able to play this. Oldbootsmusic.com. If you want to hear the show we did with Dan Roberts, we did a musical episode, it is awesome. First of all, you will laugh, you will cry, definitely cry, and there's cows mooing because he was actually herding cattle when we recorded this show. So you got to go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it yet. But here's Dan Roberts and Beaches of Cheyenne.
packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed that told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said that I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
And that is Dan Roberts, Beaches of Cheyenne. I just love that version. It's just so southern. It's so country. I love it. And you're listening to the Horses in the Morning radio show on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And coming up in just a minute, we're going to have Lisa from the Chronicle. We'd like to thank EasySignsOnline.com for sponsoring the show. But are we going to do the reading first, Glenn? Wrong button.
No, I thought I'd give you the cheering first because I know that you're going to be so good.
Okay, thank you. So positive.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Ginger and I, Chapter 10, A Talk in the Orchard. Ginger and I were not of regular tall carriage horse breed. We had more of racing blood in us. We stood about 15 and a half hands high. We were therefore just as good for riding as we were for driving. And our master used to say that he disliked either horse or man that could do but one thing, and he did not want to show us off in London parks. He preferred a more active and useful kind of horse. As for us, our greatest pleasure was when we were saddled for a riding party, the master on Ginger, the mistress on me, and the young ladies on Sir Oliver and Merrylegs. I was so cheerful to be trotting and cantering all together that it always puts us in high spirits. I had the best of it, for I always carried the mistress. Her weight was little, her voice was sweet, and her hand was so light on the rein that I was guided almost without feeling it. Oh, if people knew what a comfort to horses a light hand is, and how it keeps a good mouth and good temper, they surely would not chuck or drag or pull at the rein as they often do. Our mouths are so tender that when they have not been spoiled or hardened with bad or ignorant treatment, they feel the slightest movement of the driver's hand, and we know in an instant what is required of us. My mouth had never been spoiled, and I believe that was why the mistress preferred me to Ginger, although her paces were certainly quite as good. She used to often envy me and said it was all the fault of breaking in and the gag bit in London that her mouth was not so perfect as mine. And then old Sir Oliver would say, "There, there, don't vex yourself. You have the greatest honor, a mare that can carry a tall man of our master's weight. With all your spring and sprightly action, does not need to hold her head down because she does not carry the lady. We horses must take things as they come and always be contented and willing so long as we are kindly used." I had often wondered how it was that Sir Oliver had such a very short tail, and really was only 6 or 7 inches long with a tassel of hair hanging from it. And on one of our holidays in the orchard, I ventured to ask him by what accident it was that he had lost his tail. "Accident," he snorted with a fierce look. "It was no accident. It was a cruel, shameful, cold-blooded act. When I was young, I was taken to a place where these cruel things were done. I was tied up and made fast so that I could not stir, and then they came and cut off my long, beautiful tail, through the flesh and through the bone, and took it away. How dreadful," I exclaimed. "Dreadful, I was dreadful, but it was not only the pain, though it was terrible and lasted a long time. It was not only the indignity of having my best ornament taken from me, though that was bad, but it was this. How could I ever brush the flies off my sides and my hind legs anymore? You who have tails just whisk the flies off without even thinking about it, and you can't tell what a torment it is to have them settle upon you and sting and sting and sting and have nothing in the world to lash them off with. I tell you, it is a lifelong wrong and a lifelong loss, but thank heaven they don't do it now." "What did they do it for then?" said Ginger. "For fashion," said the old horse with a stamp of his foot. "For fashion. If you know what that means, there's not a well-bred young horse in my time that has not had his tail docked in that shameful way, just as if the good God that made us did not know what we wanted and looked best. I suppose it is fashion that makes us strap our heads with those horrid bits that I was tortured with in London," said Ginger. "Of course it is," said he. "To my mind, fashion is one of the wickedest things in the world. Now look, for instance, at the way they serve dogs, cutting off their tails to make them look plucky and shearing up their pretty little ears to a point to make them look sharp, forsooth. I had a dear friend once, a brown terrier. Skye, they called her, and she was so fond of me that she would never sleep outside my stall. She made her bed under the manger, and there she had a litter of 5 as pretty little puppies as need be. None were drowned, for they were very valuable kind, and how pleased she was with them. And when they got their eyes open and crawled about, it was a real pretty sight. But one day the man came and took them all away. I thought he might be afraid I should tread upon them, but it was not so. In the evening, poor Skye brought them back again, one by one in her mouth. Not the happy little things they had been, but they were bleeding and crying pitifully. They all had a piece of their little tails cut off, and the soft flap of their pretty little ears were quite cut off. How their mother licked them and how troubled she was, poor thing. I never forgot it. They healed in time and they forgot the pain, but the nice soft flap of that ears was intended to protect the delicate part of their ears from dust and injury, and it was gone forever. Why don't they cut their own children's ears into points and make them look sharp? Why don't they cut the end off their noses to make them look plucky? One would be just as sensible as the other. What right do they have to torment and disfigure God's creatures?" And that is the end of the first half of Chapter 10, A Talk in the Orchard. Applause.
Oh, I'm looking for it. There we go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Lisa? Glenn, would you like to introduce our next guest? You can move on. You don't have to just sit there and try not to say something. You can just move on.
Actually, you were scheduled to introduce Lisa, so I didn't.
It's not in my color. Okay, our next guest would be from the Chronicle of the Horse, and Lisa is calling in to tell us about a blogging war. So, first of all, good morning, Lisa. Thanks for joining us again, as you do every Thursday.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. You're doing great. I'm hoping you're enjoying the reading of Black Beauty as much as Gwen is.
Yes, it's been delightful. It's been so many years since I've read that book.
I know, me too. I mean, I'm reading it along with all of you at the same time. I haven't pre-read any of this.
I'm trying to be good today, and she's baiting me the entire day. I'm trying to be so good and not talk about what a horrible book this is. And
stop
she's
now. Stop
baiting
now.
Me.
Stop now,
it's
Glenn.
It's not a horrible book.
Thank you. I am presenting a positive light because I got mad at you yesterday. We had a little fight, and so you're being very good, and I really appreciate it. And Lisa, what did you call in to talk with us about today?
Well, today I thought if anyone's been on our website lately, you may have noticed that we have a new blogger. Her name is Nat, and she is the groom for Will Faudry, which is exciting enough under normal circumstances. But right now, Will has just...
I'm glad you said that because I was going to have thought better of it.
Why? Why?
Will,
what do you mean by that?
Will is interesting to work with.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true of almost any upper-level rider. So.
That's all we'll
you guys
say.
Are talking inside clock, and I want to know why is Will Faudry funny?
You started it.
You know, he's just a funny person, and I think that he would be great to work for. But anyway, so we have this new blogger, and Will is currently in Europe. He just left, I believe it was sometime last week. He's doing the Lumulin. I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of that name. It's a 4-star that is happening in Germany this week. It actually started today. Will is doing the 4-star with one of his horses, and then he's doing the CI. There's also a CIC 3-star, which he is doing with another one of his horses. So,
I got to jump in because I was so excited that you were going to talk about this event because I have no idea how to pronounce it, and you were going to be, like, once you said it, I was just going to say it all the time. And talk about, I didn't know if it was Lumulin, and it's in Germany, right? So it could be
Germany.
I don't know.
I really don't know. I always say Lumulin, but I'm sure that that's not correct. I'm sure there's a better way to pronounce it.
I'm going to continue
to not talk
about it.
But anyway, you can always just call it the 4-star in Germany, which is...
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
So they're over there right now. Dressage started today for the CIC 3-star, and that's all, you know, very exciting and well. But the most fun thing that's been going on our website with it is there's been a bit of a blogging war. So we have Nat blogging for us, and then at the same time, we also have Jenny Brannigan blogging for us, and she is there competing in the 4-star, but she has agreed to stay out of the blogging war right now. And then there is Kelly Moret. She is blogging for Pro. And then Tiana Coudre is blogging for Eventing Nation. So there's been a little bit of a competition, a little bit of a competitive spirit based around this blogging. But I have to say, if anyone's read all of them, I think so far Nat is winning by far because she's hilarious if you've read any of them. She's just super, super funny. She's posting these awesome pictures.
I just read hers in the Chronicle, and it was very funny because she's talking about how to communicate in German. And if anybody's been to another country where you don't speak the language, they look they treat you like you're a complete idiot, just like probably we would do if somebody was here and they didn't speak any English. You know, we're like using hand signals and talking louder and gesturing, and that's kind of what she talks about in her blog. But I do love her blog. I mean, I know it's new and everything, but I definitely enjoyed it today.
Yeah, she's been very funny. It's nice to get sort of an inside perspective. And she's very funny, but at the same time, it's obvious how much she cares about those two horses she's there with. You know, she was talking about waiting by the tarmac sort of for them to get loaded into their little crates before they get put in the plane, she said, like, you know, it's an absolute no-no. You never wrap a lead line around your arm. But she said she's standing there with those two horses, and she has the lead lines wrapped around her arms because she would rather, you know, get dragged or get hurt than let anything happen to either one of those horses. So I thought, even though that's terrible Pony Club sentiment, I thought it was still sort of sweet at the same time.
So what else do you guys have? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's got to be very challenging to be responsible for horses getting on a plane to Germany for.
Yep.
I couldn't even imagine. But what else do you guys have on the Chronicle? What are you covering news-wise right now besides the blogging wars?
Well, we have the blogging wars, and then last weekend was pretty exciting. We had right down the road from us the Upperville Horse Show, which is in like its 100-and-something year. And so we had some people go down there for that, and I was out of town. I was in Quebec for the Beaumont CCI, which was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's incredibly beautiful there. If you've never had the chance to go, I would highly recommend it. It's just an amazing place, especially in the summer, because we left here and it was, you know, 100 degrees on the day I left, and we got up there, and I was actually kind of cold. I was wearing pretty much every article of clothing I brought with me. It was, like, the high on Sunday, I think it was 55 or something.
Oh, my gosh, it was a high.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're not used to that, that's for sure a definite change. So, well, if anybody wants to read about your travels up there, I'm sure they can find it on cronofhorse.com. Lisa, is that correct?
Yep, that is correct.
Okay, everybody, check it out, and definitely check out the blogging wars that are going on from everybody. And Jennifer just typed to me, it's La Moulin.
Ah, okay.
But whatever. I'll believe her.
I can go with that. You know, I don't have anything better.
Yeah, exactly. La Moulin. All right, well, thank you so much, Lisa, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right.
Bye.
Lisa from the Chronicle. Hey, guess what I just got in the email?
I just got
confirmation that in addition to one of our special super-duper hats tomorrow for the winner of Really Bad Ads, Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, our sponsor for Fridays, is offering a 5-pound bucket of Summer Gains electrolytes as a prize for the week. And there are terrific electrolytes. And, of course, with 108 degrees, you probably need electrolytes out there in Arizona, and every other place in the country right now is pretty warm. So 5-pound bucket of Summer Gains electrolytes from Kentucky Performance Products in addition to the hat tomorrow for the winner of Really Bad Ads. Submit your Really Bad Ad to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. Well, we have a couple of news stories that we have to get to today, but I think you had the funniest one, and it was about another hottie that's in the movies.
Well, I know that you love these stories because you, for some reason, you've posted several stories about Reese Witherspoon in various different parts of stages of her career. Obviously, she did the movie Water for Elephants. Well, she's actually getting into trouble. Reese is in trouble in the neighborhood. I don't know if it's in L.A. Do you actually have, what is it called, your neighborhood organization? What's that called?
I'm sure they have tons of them.
I'm forgetting the word, though, what they're actually called.
Yeah, I know what
Homeowners
you mean.
Homeowners Association. So she's in trouble with her Homeowners Association, and lots of neighbors are complaining about her. All her neighbors have said that they love having her as a neighbor, but they are tired of the noise. People are complaining about two things. One's name is Honky, and one's name is Tonky. And what Honky and Tonky are her pair of donkeys that she has in her backyard. Reese Witherspoon has two donkeys as pets in her backyard of her Los Angeles mansion, along with, that's not just the only thing. She has two pigs, three goats, the two donkeys, three dogs, and 20-plus chickens in her backyard of her Hollywood mansion. And apparently, according to Us Weekly, the donkeys have been driving neighbors crazy with their noise. Residents have written letters to Reese. All the letters stress that we love you being a neighbor, of course, because who doesn't like a famous person being their neighbor? They just want more peace and quiet. So we'll see. We'll have to follow this because we'll see what happens to Honky and Tonky. I guess, you know, hopefully she can keep them quiet or something.
This gives us a good excuse. See, I didn't realize that we had an excuse to talk to Reese Witherspoon, but she owns an equid, so we need to get her on.
Well, you know, we if we could get her on for any reason, Glenn, I would wish you the best of luck. So.
Okay, good. Jennifer, can you work on that Reese Witherspoon angle?
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. I'll have our peeps call her peeps. You bet.
Do you know that she's going to get a new neighbor, Jamie? And the new neighbor's name is Petra Ecclestone. And Petra Ecclestone happens to be the 22-year-old, now get this, follow this, 22-year-old heiress to the Formula One racing fortune. Her dad is known as Bernie Ecclestone, and he happens to own Formula One. Now, first of all, there's actually one family that owns NASCAR, and then we have this guy that owns Formula One. I didn't know you could own a sport, but apparently they do. So
he owns
Formula One. All the Formula One races around the world are under his management. So,
thus
the money, okay? Because Formula One in Europe is huge. apparently he's given some of this money to his 22-year-old daughter because she just bought the most expensive property in the history of the United States. She recently bought the manor, which is a 5-acre spread in California. It was up for sale. It's been for sale for a while, for 2 or 3 years. Aaron Spelling, the TV producer, actually built it back in the 1980s, and he died, and his wife decided that she wanted a smaller place because the house is 57,000 square feet. It has a bowling alley, a salon, a 100-car garage.
Glenn, you are not going to believe this, but I have actually been to that house.
Really?
Now, I have not been in the house, but when I was in L.A. for a media thing that I had to do a couple years ago, they actually took us around to this is like in the Hollywood Hills, and they drove us to this house, and they're like, this is the largest, most ridiculous house in Hollywood, and we were outside the gates. It was one of those, like, you know, we grabbed the bars and we were like trying to look in because we're just bored DJs, and it's like, this is Aaron Spelling's house, and Aaron Spelling was still alive, so he was still living there. He hadn't died yet, so this was several years ago. So we're peeking in that, and he's like, okay, get in the car and I'll take you to the next door neighbor. So we hop in the car and he drives us maybe like 3 houses down, and it was the Playboy Mansion. So this house is next to the Playboy Mansion. This is a ridiculous place, $150 million it was listed for?
Yeah,
good,
they're not sure,
God,
what it sold for. They think it's somewhere in the $100 to $120 million range that she actually bought it for. But it has a flower cutting room, a china room, a Prince Charles suite, which was named after its one-time royal guest. And just goes on and on and on what this place has. But now I'm going to gross you out even more. She's 22 freaking years old. So the next one, the thing that's even going to gross you out more, is this is her second home. Her first home is a 6-story London home, which she bought for $90 million. But she can't live there right now because it's under renovation. She didn't like it. So she's having it renovated. They are actually digging under the ground and putting in an underground parking garage for her because she didn't like the cars parked out front. And they asked her why she needed such big houses when she's 22. And she said that she has 5 dogs and they need a place to run.
Oh, my God. Get a backyard.
She got one.
Get a leash. Get a backyard. Get a leash. Whatever. Oh, that's ridiculous. You know,
this is just sickening. And you know what I find? You know who I really admire is Bill Gates. He announced the other day, he's worth billions, and he's been giving it most of it away through his charities. He announced the other day that his kids, and I don't know if he had 2 or 3, but his kids are all getting $10 million each, and that's it. That's all they're getting from the estate because, and, you know, it's a lot of money. It's not, you know, it's $10 million. But, you know, considering he's worth $60 billion, they're each getting $10 million because he wants them to have to work for a living. He doesn't want them buying $100 million houses when they're 22.
Wait, so they're getting $10 million, but they have to work for a living?
Well, apparently 10 million is not enough. So yeah, you and I could probably live pretty handily on $10 million. But they won't be buying $200 million worth of houses like Petra.
Good Lord, that's ridiculous. Well, good for her, whatever. I'm sure we'll read about her hanging out with Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan in the rehab center.
She looks
a lot
like Paris, actually, doesn't she? She kind of does.
Is that her, the one, the blonde?
The blonde one, yeah. Yeah, that's her.
Oh, shocker. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. That's terrible. My mother's
speaking
a blonde.
Speaking of looks.
What?
That was a perfect transition into your next story.
I forget what my next story. Oh, yes. I'm like, which story? I got a bunch. I was looking at Molly's blog, which is dappledgray.com. And, you know, the Royal Ascot horse race took place this past weekend. And if you don't know what that is, which I didn't really either, it is a horse race in England that is the – it's almost like their Kentucky Derby, but with a royal family theme. Like, the royal family always goes. They hold it. The Queen was there. It's a really big deal out in England, the Royal Ascot. And the Royal Ascot is much like the Kentucky Derby, where hats are very much the centerpiece of everybody's outfit. So Molly from Dapple Gray did a best of and a worst of, and it's just one photo of each. So I want to post them on Facebook, Jennifer, if you could help me. Post the worst photo and the best photo up on Facebook, and these are the ones that Molly from Dapple Gray's blog actually selected, and I got to agree with her. First of all, I don't know how anybody wore any of these things. They're ridiculous. However,
especially the horse one. How'd she get the horse to wear that thing?
That's the thing, is the best of was a horse. And the worst of was a woman wearing this ridiculousness on her head. So you guys have to check it out. It'll be on Facebook a moment if Jennifer hasn't posted them already. So we'll get
she
to
has
it.
An iPad on her hat.
This worst of photo is literally the worst of. I mean, I don't know how you walk around. It's this green feather-like giant taffeta thing on her head, and attached to her hat, covering her right eye, is an iPad. What the hell would you need an iPad on your hat for? That's ridiculous.
Hey, bend over. I got to check the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Can you lean back just a little bit? I got to check my email. I got an appointment. And then the horse one, the horse is wearing the hat, and the hat is plumes and colors and feathers, and you can tell by the horse's expression that this lady is absolutely like hanging. It should look to me like she's pulling the horse forward and the horse is resisting, because I'm sure it feels ridiculous wearing this thing. I mean, this hat would spook my horse. So I don't know how they got it done, but it's pretty funny.
And it's kind of funny. Yeah, and the girl wearing the worst of is not bad looking either. So, you know, she probably drew a lot of attention that day with the iPad on her head.
Yeah.
The Przewalski horses, do you remember we talked about them? They're kind of a horse that's over there in Mongolia, and they're very rare and endangered and everything. We talked about Mongolia quite a bit there for a while, and we talked about these.
The Przewalskis?
Is that how you say it?
That is how you say it. I know it's bizarre.
Przewalskis? Okay. Well, we'll stick with Przewalskis because I trust you. So, I mean, you are a book reader. So we have. So following. So there were four horses. They're very, very rare. There's like, you know, tens of them left. And apparently they bred in the Prague Zoo. They bred three babies, and they wanted to bring all four and turn them back in the wild back in Mongolia. So they flew them out. The part about this story, I mean, that's all good and everything, but the part about this story that just blew my mind. These are rare horses. There's like 24 of them left. So
is that all there is?
Yeah, they're very rare, okay? So they're not a lot of these horses. So they want to put them back in the wild and let them breed with the ones that are there and hopefully grow the populations. Let me read this sentence to you. The transport of the horses will be closely watched, not only by horse lovers, but this is the first time the Czech Air Force is making a long-distance flight with one of its four CAAC, blah, 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 transport planes that were intended for use in Afghanistan but failed a series of tests. Technical issues aside, the European Commission has actually initiated legal proceedings against the Czech Republic for purchasing these planes. These planes didn't work. They broke. And they're putting four of these rare horses on it and figured it was a good idea. Let's test a plane by putting four of these rare horses on it. And we'll see if anybody gets there.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
I can't believe this.
Paul Delta, they shipped a bunch of our American four-star horses to Lemulin. Maybe they're a little safer.
I just had to bring it up. I'm sorry. That was just one of the things. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. Hey, another story before we wrap up here. Do you remember Uncle Mo, I'm sorry, Mucho Macho Man, his rider was injured. So then he got a new jockey for the Kentucky Derby and for the Preakness, and this guy's name was Rajiv Mara, was the new jockey, Rajiv. Well, he was replaced by Mucho Macho Man's Belmont jockey, who the name is escaping me at the moment, but so Rajiv Mara got another horse for the Belmont Stakes, and he was riding Isn't He Perfect? Well, he got suspended, and I wonder if this is like a little bit of like I got a new jockey kind of thing, but Isn't He Perfect breaks out of the gate, and Isn't He Perfect, Rajiv Mara's horse, runs into none other than Mucho Macho Man. He comes over into Mucho Macho Man, so it's like, I'm going to run into the horse that I used to ride. You know, they took me off that horse. I'll show you. He runs into Mucho Macho Man, who then, in turn, runs into Animal Kingdom. Obviously, Animal Kingdom was the favorite, and if you remember the Belmont Stakes, he fell down almost completely on the ground. The jockey almost came off. It was amazing that he got back up and finished sixth in the race. But Isn't He Perfect finished 12th. Mara has been suspended for that riding. 10-day suspension for careless riding and his handling of Isn't He Perfect in the Belmont Stakes. I wonder if there's, like, any sort of, you know, I mean, racing is a dramatic kind of interesting world. I wonder if he's like, I'm going to hit you, stupid old horse. I used to be able to ride. Can't ride anymore. I mean, that changed the race for Mucho Macho Man and Animal Kingdom. It definitely did.
Yeah, it especially changed the race, I think, for Animal Kingdom.
Without a doubt. They didn't even try anymore after that. So Rajiv Mara is deciding whether he's going to appeal his suspension or not. But I wonder, I'd be interested to hear how the repos actually took it. You know, Kathy and Dean, with their horse getting bumped by their former jockey. I mean, is that just coincidence? I don't know. I think
you got to know that stuff goes on. If you've ever been to Churchill Downs and taken the tour, there is in the one place upstairs there, it goes into the jockey room. That's right. Before you get into the jockey room, there's like an outer room. And there's this big picture on the wall taken back in the early 1900s. And it's of these jockeys who are beating each other with their sticks. You see the two sticks hitting each other, and there's a big sign there, you know, that's not allowed anymore. But that stuff has gone on, I think, since the beginning of racing.
It absolutely has. I'm looking for a picture of what I think is the epitome of horses in racing. I'm going to find it and I'm going to post it on Facebook. But have you ever seen the picture of the two horses running down the lane and one is attacking the other, like biting the other one? It's awesome. I'm going to find it.
Yeah, okay. I saw that the other day. I'd never seen that picture before.
It's awesome, and it's an older photo.
It's old, yeah.
Along with that one and the Triple Dead Heat photo, I think is at Churchill Downs as well. Three horses that came into a tie. Awesome.
All right. I think that's about it for today. We need to wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for listening from around the world. And thank you again for all the love we got yesterday from all of our listeners. We appreciate that. If you want to drop us emails or contact us, you can do that through the website at horsesinthemorning.com. And I noticed a trend here. You know, most of these people that contacted us in the last couple of days are listening on their iPods or on their MP3 players. So you can You can still do that through iTunes. You just search for Horses in the Morning. We pop up right there. Hit subscribe. It's free. It's easy. And it's a great way to get the shows automatically downloaded to your player every day. And don't forget that all the other shows are coming out. The Eventing Show will be out today. The Western Radio Show is out. Attack and Habit's out. So you can catch all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And there's something I don't mention often. If you are a listener, which apparently we have quite a few, to all of the shows, it's easier to go to horseradionetwork.com. There's an iTunes link on the left side of the page. If you click that, that is a master feed that has all of our shows. Every show that comes out every week goes into that iTunes feed and will automatically be download every show to your iTunes player. You don't have to subscribe to each of them separately. But I would only do that if you're interested in all the shows. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of shows downloaded every week to your player. So keep that in mind. What else, Jamie? That about it. Tomorrow, Really Bad Ads.
I'm going to pick up my dad at the airport in just two short hours, so you'll have a little bit of
Oh, is he
going to
join us?
Playing.
Is he going to be around for a while?
He will be here tomorrow morning and Monday morning, so you will definitely hear him. That's for sure.
Good. Well, maybe we can get him on for a couple minutes one of those mornings to say hi. I love talking to your dad.
All right, he'll definitely.
Your mom
do
yells
it.
At me.
You guys. Yeah, my mom's not your biggest fan, Glenn. I'm not going to lie.
She thinks I'm mean to you.
She does.
Does she forget about the paycheck part? Does she forget
yeah,
about
Yeah, but paychecks, you know, you should be nice. You're supposed to be nice. She's a good Southern woman, and you're supposed to be nice, Glenn. Bless your heart.
We love you, Jamie.
All right. I love you guys, too. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmets and be safe.